I didn't mention, but it would be great if you could be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Goebbels area. Covey Hill Church was broken in last night, and so they had to cancel services this morning because of investigation and all the things that are a part of that. So, but be praying for them. I think some of us can sympathize, can feel their pain. And I know God is good and all that, but it does just add a little extra worry in their lives. And today we're going to talk about worry. And I don't know if you come here today with any worries in your lives, but I know as a kid, we used to sing a song. It was called, Why Worry When You Can? Okay, how many remember that song? Thank you. You are the only three older ones that are in here as well with me. The song goes, Why Worry When You Can Pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully in his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? That gives us one of the ingredients that the Apostle Paul is going to give us today in our passage. The passage is in Philippians chapter 4. We're working our way through the book of Philippians, and we've made it all the way to verse 6, and we're going to go through verse 9 this morning. But it is an important topic. It's a topic that all of us, at some point in our lives, and I really, that's even an understatement, at many points in our lives, can fall into a rut of being anxious and worrying. And that's not just a mental health issue. That affects us physically as well. People who worry do not live as long as those who have the peace of God resting in their hearts and their minds. There was a family that had put their grandma on an airplane. I was trying to remember if I'd ever shared this before, so if you remember it, then you're also not old. They put their grandma on this plane. She did not want to go on this plane. Matter of fact, she says, I don't trust these contraptions. She had never flown in her life, but they wanted to send her to one of the relatives further away in return. And so the family on this side of the situation boarded her up almost against her will, and off she flew. They couldn't wait for her to come back and see how she had, or what her thoughts were on the experience. And so when she finally came back and landed, one of the family members went up to her and kind of kiddingly, but they asked, wanting to know, they said, well, did the plane hold you up okay today? And grandma said, well, yes, but I never put my full weight down on it. I don't know if she was sitting in the plane, standing up. I don't know what she was doing, but she was not going to put her full weight down on that contraption. Now, I know some of you just laughed at grandma. But I think most Christians live like grandma. And it's not, and what I'm referring to, it doesn't have anything to do with flying, but it has to do with putting our faith and confidence on somebody who promised to sustain us completely. And we know that God has done that. God has promised to meet our every need. God has promised to get us through this journey of life. He tells us that we can be confident that when he began the work in you as a believer in Christ, when he began that work, he will complete it until the day of redemption. He has promised to sustain us completely. But you know how we live our lives? We're not going to put our full weight down on those promises. And as a result, we worry. Worry, worry, worry. When we could do and live totally different. So I'm excited about this little study here. It's a passage that's one of my favorites. We have terms for that differ from worry. So, have you ever heard, I'm just so stressed out? You know what you're saying? I'm a worrier. You've heard the phrase worry wart or nervous Nelly or whatever. There's all kinds of phrases for these things that are part of our lives, and we realize that, and it weights us down because of it. It could be worries over finances. You know, am I going to be able to pay my mortgage? Am I going to be able to pay for my kids' college education? Am I going to meet this next bill that's coming up? What if my car breaks down? And the worries can go on and on and on when it comes to finances. And if that wasn't enough, we have our health to worry about, right? Especially as we get older, the three of you that are with me here, we get in the all of a sudden there's aches and pains. And everybody has aches and pains, right? But when you get my age, you wonder, are they ever going to go away? Is this something that now is part of my life? You know, I've got this little thing that if I reach just the right way, by the way, it's going away and I'm thankful. But I was wondering, is this pain that I have right here ever going to go away? And I could put it in the right position, but if I moved it back right here, it was hurtful. But now it's thankfully, it's starting to go away. But I'm just reciting some of my ills here. That's what happens when you get old too. But I got this little quirk in my knee, and so I can't jog anymore because it irritates it. And is that something I'm just going to live with the rest of my life? So you have these worries. And then what if the doctor calls and gives you news that you have cancer? Can you worry about that as a older folk? You know, you can worry about that one as a younger folk, right? But those are things that all of us wonder about. Am I going to ever have Alzheimer's? Now, that one I don't worry about too much. I usually forget that I was. So anyway, we have health issues. Children, do you think children add to your stress? This gray is because of my five children. I have several hairs just for each one of them, and I can name them. The Lord can count my hairs. I can show you the gray ones and count them with the people that it goes to. Matthew has the majority of them. Are your kids going to grow up to love the Lord? Are they going to marry somebody that loves the Lord? Are they going to be victims of this terrible world in which we live? Do you think there's some concerns, some worries that you could have? We use concerns instead of worry because we're Christians. But do you think there's some concerns that we could have in those areas as well? I may not have hit the worry that you came today with on your list. Some of you may worry and not even know why. And that's not only possible, that's true of a lot of people. They just are depressed, but they can't put their finger on it. What do you do in that situation when those things hit you? Well, Paul gives us an answer, and it's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And you just follow along as I read. Be anxious for nothing. Now, let me just clarify. There is a one area of one area of worry that is probably legitimate. If you're out in the woods and you see a bear, you're probably going to get a little anxious. And I think God gave you that for a reason. That's so you will run. But the reality is most of the things that we worry about haven't taken place. We don't know if they're going to take place. And probably 90% of the time never do. That's not good worries. And that's why Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why worry when you can pray? That's what he says in verse 6. And then he says, and the peace of God. Here's the promise. That if we put this to God in prayer, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, that seat of emotion, your minds, through Christ Jesus. Then he says, finally. It's just like the preacher that says finally and keeps on going. Paul's going to keep on going. But he says, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. I'm just going to put a little note here. This is what I used to do when the teacher assigned so many words for a piece of paper or for a report. You put in a lot of whatevers that don't need to be there just to fill the numbers. And it seems like Paul's kind of doing that. He could have just said whatever things are true, noble, just, pure. Anyway, that's a side note. That's for free. For you kids that are still in college or school, now you know how to do it to get those numbers up. Okay, sorry, I'm sidetracked. Then he says, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, here's the command, meditate on these things. Okay, so we pray. He says also that we meditate. And then he says, in the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, another command, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so here's the main point in this passage. I'm going to kind of outline it, and then we're going to break it down. But he says, be anxious for nothing. This is what he's trying to get you to do. So I hope that you come in here today as a worrier, possibly, but I hope that when you leave, you will go out as a warrior, that you will have conquered this in your life. This is what he's hoping for. This is what he's aiming at. He gives you three ways to accomplish that. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. To go to the throne of God, and we'll see why that's so important. Secondly, he says, meditate on things that are true, noble. He lists eight things that we're to be meditating on, that we're to occupy our minds with. And then lastly, he says, do. These things that you've learned, praying, doing, or think, meditating, these do. And then he gives you the promise. The promise is that you will have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And that peace is going to guard, just like a guard waiting for worry to come, and it's going to defeat it instantly. It will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And then if that wasn't enough, he says it again down at the bottom. He says, not only that you will have peace, but now this really isn't a promise of peace. He just calls God the God of peace. But notice the promise. The God of peace will be with you. That's the results here. If you're anxious, Paul wants you to have a peace and to understand the presence of God in your life. That's his goal, and he gives you three means of accomplishing that. So let's look at those three means one at a time. This isn't new for just Paul. This is something Jesus taught too. Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. What's interesting to me is Jesus said this the night he was betrayed and was going to the cross, the night he would be arrested. He says, I'm praying that you will have peace. Don't be anxious for anything. Seven times in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace. He wants us to have this peace. He wants us to experience. And then Paul gives you the ingredients. Why worry when you can pray right? We're going to look at pray right, think right, do right. Not Dudley, just do right. Okay? Pray right. Verse 6, again, what does he say in verse 6? He says, finally, brethren, that's 8. Let's go back up to 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray. We're going to see why that's the first step and why it's the most important step when worry starts to enter in to our lives. He says pray. Let me just talk about the word pray there. It's kind of a general term for prayer to God, but really the Greek word has this idea of being face-to-face with God. There, by application, it has to do with worship then, is part of this experience, and we'll see why that's important. But he's calling us in the midst of a worry. The first thing we need to do is enter into a face-to-face encounter with God. Why does he want us to do that? Why is that so important? I was reading a little article from Max Lucado this week, and it said religious leaders loved to make theater out of prayer. He's referring to the Pharisees and the scribes and how they made a big to-do that they wanted people to see them praying. And he said in Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. And pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret and will reward you. And then he went on to say, the words surely stunned Jesus' audience. The people were simple farmers and stonemasons. They couldn't enter the temple, but they could enter their closets. And the point is, and this is what Max Lucado said, he is low on fancy and high on accessibility. What's his point? God wants you in his presence. You say, well, okay, we're talking about worry, not prayer. So how does that make a difference in our lives? Why is that so important? Why pray? God already knows everything anyway in our lives. So why should we be praying? Why are we bringing these requests to him? And I like what someone else said. The reason is because our worry stems from a fear that things will not turn out like we want. Well, that's common sense, right? You're not going to worry about things that are going to turn out the way you want them to turn out. You're worrying about things that won't turn out the way you want. But then he says another way of saying that is things will not turn out how they would if you were in control. Now, why do you go before the presence of God who is in control? This is a trust factor, isn't it? This is a faith factor when we worry. And it's like we want control. We know how things should turn out. We're worried that it's not going to turn out that way. In reality, what we're saying is, God, you're not going to do what I want you to do. And therefore, I'm going to worry about it. But there's something about worship. When you come before the presence of God, you do what the angels did. You cover your face and you cry, holy, holy, holy. Who knows what's best for you? Who can we put our confidence and trust in? Who promised to sustain us through all of life's journey? Who promised to meet our every need? Who promised to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding? Who promised to take even the difficulties of our lives and use those to produce character, Christian character, life-changing character in our life? Can we put our confidence in him? So when we have a worry, we're trusting in what we want to happen instead of trusting in the God who's in control of everything. And when you come into his presence, you can't come there without acknowledging God. My life is yours. You know, when Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he didn't say, this is how you pray. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. He didn't start that way, did he? He said what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's he doing? He's worshiping here. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What? How did he start his prayer? Lord, you are to be hallowed. You are to be worshipped. You have a will, and I am committing that not my will be done. I'm committing thy will be done. What you will in heaven, let it happen here on earth. And by the way, give us this day our daily bread. But it has to be in that order. If you change it around, you're still going to worry because you're asking for things that may not be part of his plan and his will. And that's not going to accomplish anything. And that's why the rest of that verse goes on. In verse 6 again, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests. So he names three other areas. Supplication. That is coming before God and laying out our desire that his will be done in our lives, that he meets it. You say, why pray for what you want? Because God already knows. You're right. God knows, and there's no need for you to pray for what you want if that's all you're doing. But when you pray, when you offer supplication, what you're acknowledging is the source of all your need is God. It's not in the circumstances of life. Lord, I need these circumstances to turn out right. No, if you're laying your supplication before God, you're saying, you're the only one that can meet my need. And all my needs are met in you. You see, when you ask in supplication, it's for your sake more so than God's. Because he does know what you need way before you asked. You're just acknowledging that. Putting that care in his trust and in his name. But and then he goes thanksgiving, not only with supplication, but also thanksgiving. If you're in the midst of an anxious period of your life, the last thing that is natural to do is to be thankful. So this one you got to plan. This one's not going to just happen. This one you got to do. So when we talk about when you're worried, pray, that part of that prayer needs to be thankfulness, right? That's what Paul's saying here. You need to be thankful. You say, well, what am I thankful for? Well, you can be thankful that God got you to this point, right? You can be thankful that God has taken care of you right up to this point. Well, I don't know what the worry is, but you made it this far. You can be thankful for his promise to meet your needs until the day of redemption. There's a lot of things you can do in expressing your thankfulness. Do you know that your attitude is directly related to your thankfulness? You can spend all day thinking about the negative things. We're going to get to that here in a second. I'm ahead of myself, so now I'm trying to backtrack. But you can spend all your day being a grumpy and unthankful, and that's the way your life is going to be lived. When we said that this series is about living, this is what we're talking about. It's living a thankful life, trusting in God, depending on him for our every need. Daniel, do you remember when he was deposed? Is that the word I want? He's taken from his country, taken to Babylon. And God, because of his faith and trust in God, exalted him to one of the wise men in that kingdom. And then the other wise men who were jealous of Daniel's popularity decide to get the king to make a decree that for a month everybody had to worship the king and nobody else, because they knew what Daniel did every day. And say, so Daniel knew this. It was the lion's den if you break this law that was passed. And yet, what does Daniel do? Well, in Daniel 6, verses 10 and 11, it says this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, as he always did, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What was God doing when he, or what was Daniel doing when he had an anxious moment? He was praying. He was being thankful. He was giving his supplication to his God. And what was the result? He got thrown in a lion's den and slept like a baby while the king was anxious in his palace. Who had the peace of God? Daniel did, because he applied what God was wanting in his life, and he put his confidence and trust in the Lord. A woman asked British Bible teacher G. Campbell Morgan, the next thing he says, and let your requests be made known to God after the Thanksgiving part. The request has to do with the specifics of your supplication. Your supplication is more, God, I'm depending on you. The request is really, what is the specifics, you know, and how detailed does God want you to get? Very detailed. Does he just want you to bring the little things or just the big things or the little things as well? Somebody asked G. Campbell Morgan that. Do you think we should pray about the little things of our lives or just the big things? And I love his answer. He said, Madam, you can think of anything in your life, or excuse me, Madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God? You have no big requests for God. Everything you have is little, but bring them to him. Let him answer those prayers. So we need to pray right. Here's my point. Don't worry about anything. Pray for everything. If you want to get over an anxious moment, don't worry about anything, but pray for everything. Okay, you get all at once. Think right. Not only pray right, but think right. Verses 7 through 8, look at what he says here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's the promise. Finally, brethren, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. I only had seven fingers, and I know there's eight of those, so I missed something. But anyway, Here's the idea. He wants us to make sure that in our mind, we dwell on these eight things. If you look at that verse backwards, he says, meditate on these things. There's only eight things he wants in your life. And he wants you to be dwelling on those things. It's just the first one. Whatsoever things are true. We don't have time to go through all eight of them today. But whatsoever things are true, how many things do you worry about that never take place? Someone asked a lady once, she says, why do you worry? Does that do any good? It does no good in your life, so why worry? She says, what do you mean? 90% of everything I worry about never happens. And how untrue that is, you know. Whatsoever things are true, that's the first thing that we're to think about. But we're to guard what we allow in this mind. Someone was defining worry, and I can't find it now, but so I'm going to use my words. But he defined it as a little stream that starts going through your mind. But if you allow it to continue, it deepens into a chasm so that everything else flows into it. Have you found that to be true? This little problem that you have in your life occupies 90% of your time thinking. Is it worthy of that? I've caught myself so many times while I'm driving usually. You know, all these things are going through my mind, you know, and it just consumes me, and it's not worthy of it. It does not deserve the attention that I give it. We need to guard our minds is what Paul is saying here. I want you to picture it kind of like having a party. It's a party. The place of the party is your heart and your mind. And you're going to send out eight invitations. They're going to go to Mr. True, Mrs. Noble, the three triplets, just pure and lovely, and three other amigos or friends, good report, virtue, and praiseworthy. And you're going to send out your invitation to these, and these eight people are going to come to your heart and to your mind. And then, guess what? Satan sends an uninvited guest. And he wants in. The question is, are you going to allow it? Or are you going to say no? This is an exclusive party. I'm not letting you in. And you boot him out. That's what Paul is saying you need to do. Make sure that your mind is open by invitation only. Don't let these things that are causing you to go down enter in. Purpose to send them out. You say, I'm in control about what I think. I know, I've heard you speak. Yes, you do. You have full control of what you think. It's your choice whether you're going to dwell on it or not. Paul could not command you to meditate on these things if you had no control. He's telling you, you do. And you need to get back to whatsoever things are true. By the way, the word of God is true. That would be a good place to start meditating when you begin to worry. So, pray right, think right, and then lastly in verse 9 he says, do right. The things which you have learned, he just taught you some things, right? Whether you learned them or not, we'll see after you leave here. And received, whether you receive it or not, that's again up to you. And heard, you heard, I talk loud. And saw in me, Paul's a good example of this. He's sitting in prison as he writes this book, telling you that you need to have joy and not worry. Wow. That you've seen these things, these do. And then the promise, what a promise. The God of peace will be with you. I can't think of any better friend in the time of need than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or God the Father. But it's our choice whether you're going to do this or not. The promise is if you pray right, you think right, you do those things, then you get the peace and the presence of God. Why would we not want those things in our lives? Why would we not do everything that we could to accomplish that? It's apple season, right? I was going to bring an apple today, and I forgot, and I was too lazy to go back home. But anyway, if you cut an apple in half, you're going to see what inside it. Seeds. Now, if I plant the seeds that are in this imaginary apple, if I plant these seeds in the ground, what should I expect to grow? An apple tree. Could I expect oranges from it? Could I expect plums or raisins from it? I don't like those, so no, I wouldn't want to expect those. I like plums, actually. It's the raisins. But anyway, I wouldn't expect any of those things other than an apple to come from what's inside, right? What are you putting inside? Your heart and your mind. If you're dwelling on the negative and the bad and the terrible, I can tell you what you're planted, and I can tell you what you're going to grow. It's not a mystery. The Bible says this way, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you're anxious, it's because you've planted that in your heart and your mind. And Paul is saying, go to the throne. There's something about going to the throne that changes everything that you're experiencing on this earth. Because we have a God that controls all things, and I have my full confidence and trust in him. Go to him. Do it with thanksgiving. Do it with requests. Do it with supplication. Go to him. Worship him. And then, don't let this be an open invitation for whatever you want to dwell on. You're going to catch yourself this week dwelling on things that you know you shouldn't be. And you got a choice whether to nip it in the bud or let it continue. But I'm telling you, the results will be poor health, poor mental health, more gray hair, et cetera, if you live that long. Or you could do what Paul says, and you can do a remedy that will give you peace and the presence of God in your life. Here's your thought for the day. Why worry when you can pray and meditate on God's promise of peace and his presence? Why? Good question. Why? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you again for the truths of your word. I thank you for what you promise in your word, that you are the God of peace and you can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. We can't even explain it. Can't explain how Paul could be in prison and write this. But you know, Lord, and we can experience that in our lives as well. I thank you for it. Help us this week to apply what we've learned, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.